B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, February 8th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily at the 11th hour, Overwatch League has announced a slew of preseason activity for this weekend and early next week. We'll let you know what's going on. Plus, we'll check in with Norris, who's out at the Overwatch League Media Day. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Well, despite the game being nearly 10 years old, Riot certainly isn't hurting for viewership with League of Legends. Numbers coming from Twitch show that more people are tuning in than last year for the third straight week. These numbers apply to both North America's LCS region as well as the European LEC region. While LCS was up about 4,000 average viewers in its second weekend, the LEC region was up a whopping 28,000 average concurrent viewers.
Wow!
That
seems... I know that, you know, the European region did very well at Worlds last year. But, I mean, do you think it really increased interest in League that drastically?
It's a twofold approach. It's that the European region did so well at Worlds. They went all the way to the finals. You can't ignore that. But also, this is the first year of their franchising model, which I think is adding a lot of legitimacy to it.
You know what? That's a really good point.
Much of the Chinese industry is in standby mode for the Lunar New Year, but just before the Chinese Ministry of Human Resources and Social Security officially listed two esports-related professions. Those are esports professional and esports organizer, although their understanding of the space doesn't seem to be the best. One of the main roles of an esports professional, according to them, is, quote, account boosting, a practice which is banned in almost every major esport.
Hold up. Hang on. Yeah, that... That definitely sends up a lot of red flags there, doesn't it?
Well, I'm just saying, if that's what they say their job is, they're going to... China's not going to be welcome in the esports scene for very long. I assume that was a communication problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Or somebody... somebody said that, like, that was something that a
don't
lot of esports
that.
Pros do. I don't know, like... But, I mean, like, so many people get in trouble for account boosting.
Yes.
And when they do, it's just a slap on the wrist. So, like,
unless you do it in Korea.
Yeah, that's true.
Now it's
actually a crime.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good to see, like, China, you know, officially listing esports stuff as a profession, but maybe make sure you understand exactly what that entails.
Yeah.
League of Legends is notorious for dropping new champions that are overpowered, which in the eyes of many is a ploy to get people to buy them when they're at their most expensive. No such problem with the new champion Sylas, however. Despite a hotfix that gave him a buff, he's still the worst champion statistically in three different roles, top, mid, and jungle.
Whoa, out of the hundreds of heroes, he's statistically the worst?
At three different roles. He's dead last.
That is, like, impressive,
like,
Riot.
A 39-40% win rate.
That's
like
if you released Gilberg DLC. Like, why would you
that? That's the thing. Like, because
no one would buy that.
Because on paper, Sylas should be a busted champion. Like, he's got long range crowd control. He's got self sustain. He's got good harass and poke. Like,
what's the
he
problem
should be great.
Then?
All of his moves are just undertuned. He just needs to be, like, his base numbers need to be brought up. He's just too weak to start with.
Why, Liam, in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp saying Teemo number one.
Well, you know, Teemo's always a champ, I guess. Just days after its release, Apex Legends is gathering some attention with a major tournament. Twitch Rivals is working with Respawn Entertainment to host a $200,000 tournament over the next two weekends. Popular streamers like Dr. Disrespect, Disguised Toast, and Shroud are all going to be competing. All in all, 48 Twitch streamers will be participating in the tournament, which will run over the next couple weekends.
This is going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to be interested to see what the turnout is for this. Now, obviously, listen, Apex Legends has had a really great first week.
Yeah.
And has hit the gaming community hard.
It's about as good a first week as you could ask for.
Yeah, I think so. I just don't know long term what this game is going to do. I see it eating.
It's hard to say.
I see it eating into Fortnite because it's free.
Yeah, I can see that.
But that's about as far as it goes. I don't know.
I think there's a lot to it. They have... It runs pretty well. Its monetization system isn't garbage, which is shocking for EA.
That's true.
It has the potential to make some noise in the scene. I mean, people who generally have played it say it's decent.
Here's the thing, though. Not as many devices are going to be able to run Apex Legends
sure,
as
you're not
can
be
run
Fortnite. On your tablet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I mean, you know, Fortnite doesn't take a very high-powered computer to run. And even Norris's gaming Omen laptop is was struggling.
Yeah, he said he was struggling with it. Interesting. Yeah. Formula One bosses are now saying that in the next decade, the world of esports and Formula One will overlap. F1's head of marketing, Ellie Norman, was asked if a sim racer could find themselves in the driver's seat of an F1 race within the next 10 years. She responded that it could absolutely happen within that time frame. I mean, look no further than the Race of Champions to show that sim driving matters at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that was shocking. I think that it was both shocking for
both sides.
For those of us in esports, and it's shocking for those in the racing world. You know, that was just an insane upset.
Yeah.
But,
what do you think? F1 racer coming out of the sim driving scene? Probably.
I could see it. I mean, if there's someone who has that ambition to make that jump,
yeah.
I could see you absolutely developing all of the skills that you would need to have, you know, the first time you sit down at an F1
race
steering wheel. That's what I was going for. Yeah.
Well, it's not even like you know, using sims to train for something is anything even vaguely new. I mean, even the military uses sims to you know, help with training and whatnot.
BioWare has released some details about what endgame content will be available when Anthem releases later this month. In addition to being able to play the game at harder difficulty levels, players will also be able to take on legendary contracts. There will also be 3 strongholds to complete, as well as daily, weekly, and monthly challenges.
Boy, this sounds awfully familiar.
I've got to say, the response to this has not been positive.
If you've played Destiny, boy, this sounds awfully familiar.
If you've played any MMO, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, no kidding. I just, listen, I'm so tired of, like, hey, we found our set of content, we're just going to copy and paste that with different settings for, like, now to infinity.
Yeah.
You know, that's boring.
What's really sad about this, too, is I'm almost sure that they looked at this by saying, you know, the big problem that Destiny 2 had out the gate was that they didn't have any endgame content. Let's make sure we reassure people that we're definitely going to have it, but when it's the same thing that everyone's used to already, you're not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah.
Despite the cancellation of Project Ragtag, EA has confirmed that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is indeed still coming out. It'll be releasing this fall alongside their slate of sports titles. Fallen Order will put you in the robes of a Padawan who has survived Order 66 and is on the run. The title is being worked on by Respawn, who just released Apex Legends.
Okay.
Maybe?
I have mixed feelings about this. Because, listen, Apex Legends is a very good, functional game.
Titanfall 1 and 2 were fine.
Titanfall 1
is okay.
Yeah, they do good work. I'm just...
It's EA and it's Star Wars, and
yeah,
I've been hurt before.
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly it. Like,
yeah, I get you.
Cautiously optimistic?
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Lastly, Pennsylvania has proposed a sin tax for video games that are rated M to combat violence in schools. Nate, this was one that you threw on here you wanted to talk about for a moment.
I just... how profoundly stupid this is. Can we just take a moment to just highlight how, like, to and the explanation, like, the justification is to combat violence in schools, which I think is just the most preposterous excuse.
Well, throwing money at the problem will fix it, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
What? That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. One of the most anticipated games in a long time, Death Stranding, is about to make some noise. While we still know very little about it, apparently some people have gotten to play it.
Yeah, most notably Jordan Vogt Roberts, who is working on the upcoming Metal Gear movie.
Oh. And who is from Detroit.
He is. You know, get in touch with us, Jordan. Anyway,
that's right. Come on, man. Let's hang out.
He was one of the lucky few to get to play Death Stranding. The game is apparently playable start to finish and is now in polishing mode.
Okay, can I just
polishing mode.
That's incredible.
That is what the scuttlebutt is, that it is in polishing mode now, which is crazy, because a year ago they were like, well, we've decided what kind of food we want to serve at our restaurant.
Well, what's a metaphor, Joe?
What's the turnaround time for the development of this? I mean, we heard about Death Stranding, what, like 3 years ago?
2016, I want to say. 2015, maybe.
That sounds about right.
2016 would have been when Phantom Pain was relatively new. Yeah, it would have been 2016 we started
talking
about.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a fairly decent turnaround time for a game
reasonable.
Of this scope. Yeah,
absolutely. He said the game is playable start to finish. He described the game as a miracle. Quote, "The world is next level immaculate. It's like freebasing pure Kojima and Shinkawa."
Oh my God, yes!
Remember when Fury Road blew you away but also made you ask, WTF, how does this miracle exist? You are not ready.
Oh my God.
That is what Jordan had to say about it.
Oh my God.
Now, dude, this, as always, grain of salt. It's not like he's going to come out and say, yeah, it's pretty ass.
Right. No. You got a good point. But I think that this is going to be something that really sort of transcends the medium.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's heavy, heavy praise. I mean, you know, like, There's a lot of places he could have stopped, you know, but like,
he kept going. Norman Reedus also spoke
sets
about
my
it.
Expectation bar pretty high.
Yeah, Norman Reedus also got to play it. He says it's unlike anything he's ever seen in gaming. It's a very positive game, but also scary and depressing. It's about bringing people together. It's a very positive game about bringing people together, and it's also very scary and depressing. This game's Undertale. He's making Undertale, I'm relatively sure of it.
Evangelion.
Joe, because see, I'd actually play this. I'm not going to play Undertale.
All right, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. How stoked are you for Death Stranding? Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Norris out at the Overwatch League's Media Day. Our conversation with him, we'll close out today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, almost out of nowhere, Blizzard has announced a preseason for Overwatch League Season 2. We'll tell you what to expect and give our thoughts on it ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as The Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling and all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. With less than a week to go before Season 2 of Overwatch League, we'd pretty much accepted there wasn't going to be any kind of preseason. Wrong! Out of nowhere, Blizzard has announced a ton of preseason content starting this week. Robbie, take it away.
That's right. So this is being billed as the community countdown, not the preseason, but it's essentially exactly what we would have gotten.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Literally, they're like, no, there wasn't a preseason. This is the community countdown.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it honestly is a little bit better than what the preseason would have been, which would have just been matches throughout the week. Not only are we getting matches, scrims in this case, from a lot of the teams, we're also getting a lot of the type of stuff that we saw last year out of the All-Star game.
Oh, yes. The All-Star weekend was one of my favorite things in Overwatch.
Exactly. And now we're starting the season off with it. We are getting content Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Holy cow.
Leading up to the season. So Saturday and Sunday you can expect the scrim. So we actually do get to see all of the teams in action before they don the stage for real. On Saturday, the Paris Eternal are going to be going up against the New York Excelsior. Now, if Norris was here, he would tell you that, you know, Paris is his team and he has some hope behind them. You know, we have a fan favorite soon, formerly of the LA Valiant, leading them in, but I don't think they're going to do very well against New York guys.
Probably not.
The Atlanta Reign versus the Boston Uprising, I think that might actually end up being a good match.
I think I'm definitely going to be excited to see how my Boston Uprising boys are looking this season.
Yeah. Now, if Toronto, they're going up against Philadelphia Fusion, if they want to make a big early splash, all Korean crew going against the multinational crew of the Philadelphia Fusion, who were, of course, the runner-ups to the championship last year.
Performed
very
well.
If they can manage to take them down, I think it's going to put a lot of eyes on the Defiant.
And on new teams coming into the league in general.
Absolutely, yep. And then the last two matches, well, I'm excited for them. I don't think you're going to see quite as much out of there. You have the Washington Justice versus the San Francisco Shock, and the newly reminted Florida Mayhem. They only have two of their former players from last year going up against the Houston Outlaws.
Nice.
Those are some nice matchups.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Listen, if we're for a preseason that's not a preseason, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, there are actually more matches here that I'm looking forward to than the first actual week of the season.
How about Sunday?
Yeah, so on Sunday we have the Dallas Fuel going up against the London Spitfire. Ooh.
Oh.
That's going to be an unfortunate day for Dallas.
I think that's not going to
go well for them.
The Vancouver Titans versus the Los Angeles Gladiators.
This is going to be the first look at the Runaways.
Nice.
This will be the first true test on for a lot of people that think that the Gladiators are still going to be in the top teams without Fusion.
The first test to see, you know, how the Runaways are going to perform against, you know, the pros.
That's right.
They when the teams come out, they all walk out to, you know, music typically, right? There's some sort of song plays when they take the stage.
Yeah.
Is there any chance the Vancouver Titans walk out to Runaway by Linkin Park? Do we get to see that this year?
I don't know if they're going to go quite that far.
What about Cherry Bomb by the Runaways?
There we go.
Keep hoping, guys. We also have the Guangzhou Charge going up against the Los Angeles Valiant. The Spark going up against the Dynasty. Now, a lot of the players, by the way, across the entire league, they're all saying, watch out for the Chinese teams.
Really?
All of them.
Interesting.
But you have the Chengdu Hunters going up against the Shanghai Dragons. We just got word today via Twitter that Fearless, their main tank for the Dragons. I don't know exactly what he's recovering from, but he's actually requested to go back home to Korea in order to recover.
Oh, boy.
They have no bench tanks. They just have two flex tanks. So
really?
It's going to be interesting to see
what
they do.
Guri's tanking this weekend.
And
we'll see how it goes.
Like, can these guys catch a break? I mean, honestly.
At least it was in the preseason.
They seem like a cursed team.
Yeah.
Like, they really do.
Yeah, and he's not going to make it back in time for the opening weeks, Joe.
Yikes.
I'm sorry. On Monday, we have a 1v1 Ash tournament and a 1v1 Anna tournament as well.
So, is the Ash tournament that's filling in for the Widowmaker tournament that we saw last time?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. New sniper, new game mode. I get you.
Yep.
That's cool.
And then we also have on Tuesday a 6v6 Capture the Flag match, which is only featuring the new teams.
That's cool. Wait,
I like that.
I don't think I've seen Capture the Flag mode in Overwatch. How is that?
Well, they did actually have it during the All-Star game last year, but I think it was one of the last things that they did, so we were probably all in bed by then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting because it comes down, it's not really necessarily about, you know, just like kills and stuff like that, and I think since the last time, too, they've made a bunch of changes as well, specifically, like certain abilities that you'd think would be really good, like Tracer's Blink or Lucio's Wall Riding. If you try to use those, you actually drop the flag.
So you have
to be able to run it all the way back. Being able to see the pros play it, it's going to be something that I think will be really, really interesting.
That does sound really, really interesting. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. We're currently going through the lineup of the community day, the preseason
countdown.
Community countdown, excuse me, the preseason that's not a preseason for OWL Season 2.
Yep, and then
Which, by the way, Season 2 officially getting kicked off February 14th.
Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Blizzard. And, finally then on Wednesday, the day before it kicks off,
we've all been waiting for
since the last one, the show match between the community figures. Now, this isn't just the casters and the analyst desk. They're actually bringing in other community figures. So
oh, really?
The away team will have checkpoint favorites, Zoe and Uber.
Yes!
And then CarQ, Emon, Cowboy Bebanth and Mirage, who I believe are all like streaming personalities.
Is Cowboy Bebanth one person, or is it Cowboy and Bebanth? Those are two.
Nope. Cowboy Bebanth is a single person.
That's a great name.
That's a fantastic
That's an
name.
Outstanding name. That.
Damn.
And the home team has more of the casters on them than the away does. They have Hexagrams, Puckett, Mr. X, and then they are joined by Frank. Fran Stylosa and Lite June.
Oh, so, God. No, we've got friends of the show on both teams.
I know.
How am I supposed to... Wait, which team has Sideshow on it?
Sidethrow is not participating.
What?
I actually reached out via Twitter myself and expressed my my sadness that he wasn't there. Personally, I think that Sidethrow was just a was merely a setback, and he needs a chance to redeem himself.
I think so. How could he not be there?
Well, he did respond saying that he does appreciate the confidence and that his time will come again soon.
Well, so. We can only hope. And that, I mean, that's Wednesday. That takes us right up to Thursday, which is kickoff of OWL Season 2. So you've got Overwatch action literally every day.
That's right. Starting Saturday, Overwatch League is back, baby! Yes.
So what event are you most excited for, Robbie?
You know, as much as I really want to see the Caster Showdown, I really need to see these new teams in action more than anything else.
So
I
is
really
the Capture the Flag
match?
But is it going to be the Capture the Flag, or is it going to be the show matches?
Nope, it's the scrim.
Oh, the scrim.
Okay. Scrim.
Excuse me.
That's right.
I mean, I'm really screwing up the terminology today.
Man, but yeah, you're right. Like, the Sunday scrims, like, there's some cool stuff going on. I'm looking forward. Like, on a weekend that's already jam-packed with esports to watch.
Tell me about it.
It's a good thing that, like, on Monday we can come into the office and be like, sorry, I have to work, and then turn on Overwatch League or
just
something like that.
That's going to be a busy, busy weekend. Well, we want to hear from you. What are you looking forward to the most about this weekend? What are you looking forward to most about the community countdown? Share your opinions at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next, we'll check in with Norris, who's out at the OWL Media Day. Stick around. That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your source for esports and gaming discussion. I want to thank everyone listening on Affiliate Station 101 Sports in St. Louis and WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. XP. Norris was lucky enough to actually get to go out to Burbank, California and attend the Overwatch League's official media day. So joining us now by phone is Norris. Norris, how's it going, man? How was media day?
Oh, man, it was great. It was absolutely amazing. The experience was wonderful. Got a lot of interviews, a lot of time to sit down and talk with some of the top players and organizations, as well as the entire casting crew from the Overwatch League. Well, not the entire, most of them.
So paint the picture for us and for the listeners. What does a media day look like for Overwatch League?
Yeah, so essentially what they had is they threw up a bunch of sort of backdrops with each of the team's branding, as well as Overwatch team branding, Overwatch League branding. That a few players and their coaches, as well as some translators for some of the teams up. And it pretty much was a free-for-all at that point. Usually in traditional sports, the way that works is they stick a bunch of microphones in people's faces, and you pretty much just get a sound bite. You're hoping for a sound bite, but this was really organized. People made lines. It was very cute and very nice. So it was really cool to be able to experience something like that, and I actually look forward to doing it again, but it was really organized and really easy to get information from the team.
So was there anyone that you weren't able to get any FaceTime with?
Yeah, quite a few, actually. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get time with either of the L.A. teams. They pretty much, you know, had their local L.A. News as well as some of the other outlets.
Yeah,
pretty much taking up all their time. I know a lot of the fans out there are going to hate this, but I wasn't able to get a lot of time with Dallas either.
Darn.
I know. So sad. But other than that, you know, we were able to get a little bit of time with pretty much every team in the Overwatch League. I think three teams. I was only able to not talk to three teams today.
So
that's
so,
not bad.
Listen, the chat room is going to kill us unless we start naming some names. Who did you actually get to talk to today?
Well, we got to talk to Soon from Paris. We got
of
to
course
talk
you did.
To, We got to talk to Raucous, Jake, and Dante from the Houston Outlaws.
Yes.
We got to talk to, I'm trying to think who's the part of the first group that we got to talk to. I've talked to so many people today, it's hard for me to actually literally recall. Sinatra from San Francisco.
How was Raucous's hair?
gorgeous.
Now you had some time with some Boston players as well. Was it Gamsu and Color Hex was out there?
We sure did. Got a chance to talk to those guys. That was actually the very, very first group that we got a chance to talk to, as well as Carpe. We got to talk to Poco from Philly. Coaches from the Vancouver Titans.
Are we allowed to have a favorite interview? Was there one that you particularly really liked or enjoyed talking with?
Oh man, that's going to be really tough because there's some interviews that were really enjoyable because it was a share of a lot of information.
Uh-huh,
and
sure.
Then there were other ones that were really cool because, you know, they're just people who have colorful personalities.
Right, right.
I didn't expect the interview with Soul to go as good as it did. It was through a translator mostly, but it was Zumba and Toby who were out there representing Soul.
Excellent.
And they gave some really good, concise answers. And I told Zumba, thank you, because he got me a lot of points in fantasy. And they seemed to be really thrilled with the prospect of fantasy Overwatch.
That's excellent.
So that was a really cool moment.
So I understand you actually got to sit down with some of the casters. Which casters did you get to sit down with?
Oh, man, I got to sit down with the Dream Team, man. I got to sit down with Uber, friend of the show, Puckett, Malik, and Zoe all at the same time.
Oh, man.
And I'm really, really, really excited for everybody to hear that interview. It was really fun to do. And, they're all so awesome, man. And Puckett in particular, who's been showing us a lot of love out on the streams and on social media, was like the first person to come up who wasn't, you know, building staff to come and say, hey, what's up? So much love out to Puckett.
That's what's up.
I don't know if this was your experience, but my experience when I did Rocket League coverage was, you know, talking to a lot of the teams was great. They had, you know, fairly scripted answers and whatnot, and then you started talking to the casting team, and all of a sudden there was a group you couldn't get to shut up. You're like, you ask a question, you get a 30-minute response. What was your what were your reactions like here?
You know what? The casters were sort of like that. There was a lot of interplay between all of them, which was really good, really entertaining to sit and talk to them about that. But a potential caster, probably in the future, Jake, is already that verbose himself. So he's also somebody else that you kind of just hand them the mic and let them go. So it was really cool to see that. But the casters, Joe, you're definitely correct. That is the experience just about anybody will have.
That's fantastic. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as well as 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. We're catching up with Norris, who's out at the OWL Media Day now. Norris, I know that you've been busy with Media Day, but I'm sure that you've been able to check out some of the announcements for the community. What is it? Community Countdown. Thank you. The preseason. That's not a preseason. What are you looking forward to most about the Community Countdown?
Easily the Ana 1v1s. As somebody who
The Widow 1v1s were amazing.
They were.
So, yeah, I can see why you'd be looking forward to it.
I'm hype on the Ana 1v1s. I really want to see those. It's a nice spin on the Widow 1v1s. And somebody who played a lot of Ana, I'm excited to see who can hit the craziest sleep dart. Like, that's going to be my sort of thing to be on the lookout for. Who's going to hit the craziest sleep dart?
So kind of late breaking news, but Coca-Cola announcing a partnership with Overwatch League, a wide-ranging, huge partnership. What has there been any conversation out there about that partnership or any branding that you've noticed? What's your thoughts?
Not as much. There wasn't really any branding up that was present. Nate Manzer, the commissioner for the Overwatch League, spoke about it very briefly. So while a lot of stuff was outlined in the announcement and was sort of put on the back burner for Media Day today, really today was all about the teams But the Coca-Cola partnership is absolutely astronomical. You're talking about a big, huge legacy American brand. And for them, at this point, it's not taking a chance. The money is sound. But at this point, getting a sponsor like Coca-Cola is really, really, really a blockbuster for the Overwatch League. And so I'm excited to see what sort of content and what sort of stuff comes out of that partnership.
Norris Howard out at the Overwatch Media Day. Thanks, man, for joining us and for giving us a peek into what the OWL Media Day was like.
You got it, man. Can't wait to get back to the studio.
All right, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis out at OWL Media Day, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.